Good evening.
All right, so I've got a question for anybody who has grown or does grow anything dry land. Exactly at what point, after you get the seed into the ground, do you decide to turn the water on? You don't, right? That's impossible. It would be nice, wouldn't it? But you have to be patient. You have to wait until the rain comes. This is the illustration that James uses in James chapter 5 in verse 7. He says, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and the late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." What about the farmer that doesn't do that? What about the farmer that doesn't have patience? What about the farmer who one day they plant the seed into the ground, and then the next they wake up and they look up at the sky and they say, "Still hasn't rained yet?" And they hop in the tractor and they just plow everything back up. Do you think that farmer is going to get the greatest produce that he's looking for or product that he's looking for? I honestly don't know. Somebody's going to have to try it out and let me know, but my guess is that probably not, and that they would be hurting themselves in the end. Now, the patience that James is talking about here in James chapter 5, he says to patiently wait on the Lord. And I think part of what goes into that is growing in patience in general. There are a number of things that we are told within Scripture that we are to grow in and to work on. And patience is one of those things. The Lord that we are waiting for is looking for people to be patient. And that goes for patience with others. We see continuing on in our text in verse 9, "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." And we see this in other places as well. Ephesians 4 and verse 1, "I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love." We're also to have patience in the face of trials. Again, we see in verse 10 of James chapter 5, "As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." We also see in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, "But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God." But the truth about patience is, sometimes, personally, I feel about as much control over patience as I do the reins outside. But another truth about patience is that when we lose it, when I lose it, and I hop into the tractor and I just plow everything up, I do so to my own hurt a lot of the times, and to my own detriment, probably all of the time. Somebody that I believe had a lot of patience is Paul. And the scripture that I want to look at particularly is Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. At this point, Paul has found himself in Caesarea. He has already defended himself partly to Felix, and we read this in verse 22. "But Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, 'When Lysias the commander comes down, I will decide your case.' Then he gave orders for the centurion for him to be kept in custody, and yet to have some freedom, and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who is a Jewess, and sent for Paul, and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened, and he said, 'Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you.' At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given to him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison." Now, I want us to think about these 2 years for just a moment. These 2 years that Paul was in this state. These 2 years that Paul was a prisoner, and not for any good reason. In fact, he hasn't really even been able to defend himself. For 2 years, he was listened to by a man who was only listening to him because he wanted to get something out of him. He just wanted a bribe out of him. for 2 years. Anytime that Paul wanted to talk about the things really worth talking about, he would just be sent away. No, we'll talk about that another time. For 2 years, he was in this state. And then after 2 years, this man, Felix, goes away and Paul is left in prison. I don't know about you, but it sounds like to me 2 years of a very frustrating situation. Sounds like a pretty good test of patience for Paul for 2 years. How do you think he did in this? Now I want to turn the question back to us, but I'm going to shorten the time for us. Let's not think about 2 years. Let's think about, let's say, 20 minutes. What if we had to go through 20 minutes of a frustrating situation? Not 2 years, just 20 minutes. And that can be anything you can imagine, or whatever that is, people, situation, whatever it is. After 20 minutes is up, would we be able to look at that situation and say, you know what, I had patience? And not saying that in a boastful manner, but being honest. Like, okay, I kept my composure. I wasn't dwelling on things that I shouldn't have been dwelling on. I didn't lose my temper. Or would we at least be able to say, you know what, I did everything I could to have patience in that situation? Now, the person in this text that is opposite Paul, that we see playing off of Paul, is Felix. And Felix was not that kind of man. He was not the kind of man who would do everything that he could to do the right thing. Again, we see in verse 25, but as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened, and he said, go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you. Felix seems like he was pretty quick to hit the eject button whenever Paul started getting close to things that he didn't want any part of. And whether he hit that button because it was just this feeling of I don't want that or I can't do that, whatever it may be, you can tell that it just didn't seem a possibility with Felix. And I feel like maybe we can be a little bit quick with that eject button too, at least when it comes to patience. And the way that I know I do that is when patience is brought up, I just immediately say, nah, that's not something I have. Or, you know, that's not my thing. I'm not a patient person. Or that's my weakness. I'm pretty quick to say that. And although these things may be true, and in my case, a lot of times they are true, I don't think that they're the things that we should be quick to say. James has something to say about quickness. He says this in James chapter 1 and verse 19. He says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I feel like we can take this scripture and really expand it on a big scale and say that we know we are people who are to be quick to do the right thing and slow to do the wrong thing. And obviously we can talk about that in terms of speech, and that's what James is talking about here. But it's not just what we say to others, I don't feel like. It's also what we say to ourselves. If we say, you know, that patience is something that I can't have, that's just not my thing, I can't do that, it's kind of like taking all of your seed and not planting it in the ground, just putting it into the barn, shutting the barn door and saying, you know what, I can't control the rain, I might as well not put it out. If a farmer wants a crop, putting out seed is a necessity. There's no getting around it. You have to do that. And if we are going to be God's righteous people, the righteous people that He wants us to be, patience is a necessity. He tells us that is something that we have to work on. So we shouldn't be quick to say, I don't have that, or I can't have that. The things that we say, I feel like, really has a very close correlation with the way that we view things. And if we need to change our mindset about something, and whether that is patience or whatever it may be, you know, if we change the way that we talked about it, maybe we'd see it a little bit differently. I'll give you an example of what I mean. In verse 23 of Acts chapter 24, we read, then he gave orders to the centurion for him to be kept in custody, and he had to have some freedom and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. You know, if we were in Paul's position here within this text, you know, being a prisoner is not the greatest thing in the world by any means, but I believe that our perspective of the situation would change depending on whether we were to say, I am a prisoner versus I am a prisoner with more freedom than most, because that's what Paul was. I can take this a step further. You know, whether or not we had more freedom than most in Paul's situation, we would still be a prisoner. And yet, if we have Christ, if we are Christians, then we would have even more freedom than Felix, who's sitting there without a chain, right? We would have true freedom. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free in Galatians 5 and verse 1. So, you know, does maybe the way that we talk about things change the way that we see them a little bit? We shouldn't be quick to say, I can't have patience. It's just not my thing, or whatever. We need to say, I can have patience. It's a necessity. I will have patience. Even if that is required for a long time. Even if that's required for 20 years. Even if it's required for 20 minutes. Now, we're not told too much about the 2 years that Paul spent when he was in prison, all the things that went on there. But again, I ask, how do you think his patience did? I think we can give Paul the benefit of the doubt. I will for this sermon. Maybe he did great. Maybe he had some really good patience. How? How does somebody have patience in this situation? Well, we could say that he had to. He was a prisoner. Right? He didn't really have much to say in the matter. It wouldn't do any good for him to lose patience. It's not like he can do anything about it. Well, you know, like God doesn't really give us an option about patience. He tells us to be patient. And also, whenever we are in a situation that patience is needed, just like Paul didn't really have control over all of his surroundings, a lot of times in those situations, we don't have a whole lot of control either. We can't control people. We can't control situations. Those are a lot of things that we don't have control over. But we do have control over ourselves. And God is not asking us to produce something out of thin air that we're just not capable of producing. Now I'm going to kind of clue you in, let you in on the reason why I even picked this topic in the first place. It all has to do with printers. Printers frustrate me. And part of the reason for that is because of the way that they're made nowadays. You could print a complete black and white picture, paper, whatever it is. And even though it has a complete tank full of black ink, you can still get a message, this can't be printed because it's out of magenta. And my answer to that is, I am not asking you for magenta. I'm asking you for black. You have plenty of black right there. I'm not asking you for anything that you can't give. God is not asking us to manufacture something out of thin air that we can't have. Patience is a product. But a product of what? Well, it says it's a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We see in Colossians chapter 1 that it is a product of the power of God. In verse 9, for this reason also, since the day that we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And that's something that Paul prayed for. We see that patience is a product of trial. Romans 5 and verse 3. And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. God is asking us for the black ink that we have in abundance. God is asking us to seek Him for patience. God tells us to remember the patience that has been shown to us. God tells us to walk in His Spirit. God tells us, don't give up when things get hard, but to seek Him. When we do these things will produce patience. And then we can use patience. We're expected to. But that all begins with having a heart willing to work for it. We could have the same response that Felix did and say, you know, just go away for the present. We'll deal with that. I'll mess with that later. We'll work on that at some point. What a mistake Felix made. The can that keeps getting kicked down the road is never the can that's picked up, right? We know that impatience is something that we don't want hanging around. It is not something that God wants us to have. Something that God has made clear about His character from the very beginning is that He is a God of patience. We see in Exodus 34 and verse 5, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, patient, and abounding in goodness and truth. And what we're reminded of in this is that, yes, patience is a necessity. That is the one of the descriptive factors of the God that we wait for. But also we see that it is a possibility, even for 20 minutes, because that is a characteristic of the God that we serve and are waiting for. But that is a possibility that we need God for. And if we this evening have not turned our lives over to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, now is the time to do that. Please come forward, be baptized in Jesus while we stand and as we sing.